This special program was brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheeses that win more awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
Hey, 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 I'm Jimmy Carboni from Beer Sessions Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
From Heritage Radio and Thrillist, it's Serial, a podcast about cereal. I'm Ben Robinson, editorial director of Thrillist, the website that tells you where to eat cereal and also every other food ever in more than 30 cities around the cereal mag globe. Today's guest is a man of extreme and fearsome talents, the winner of the very fine television program Food Network Star, owner of Michelin-pimped Brooklyn restaurant Do or Dine, the guy who gets at least five people a day asking if they can touch his beautiful hair to see if it's actually real, Justin Warner. Justin, how's it going?
Well, that was all very charitable. Thank you very much.
I think at least three of those things were true. We'll leave it up to the listeners to...
You know, strangely enough, they were actually all pretty true. There was no hyperbole involved.
Even better. I'm glad you agree with my high opinion of you.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, I'm going to thank my agent. That was nice.
So look, you've got a lot going on these days. You have a new special on Cooking Channel about chocolate.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's called Breaking the Rules. I kind of wish there was like a Beavis and Butthead, like breaking the rules sort of thing.
You don't have that, do you not?
No. I'm sorry. It's not the audience.
It's not the aesthetic.
Yeah.
You're developing a web series?
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. Just kind of out of nowhere. Some folks with Food Network and Cooking Channel, we just said, hey, look, let's try and make a web series that's relatively current, like now, in terms of food. And we're doing it. So that's pretty exciting.
So what is current and how does that work its way in there?
Yeah, it's, people who have things that they want to talk about that are also into food. For example, I did a little ditty with my friend Gene Gray, rapper, just came out with an album. We talked about that. We made some food. I talked about some crickets and eating them. What with paleo and whatnot, and also the rapid decline of our environment, we're looking for alternative protein sources. And believe it or not, crickets are one.
Cicadas? What about a couple years back? Cicadas? Was that last year?
You know, I was actually, I was approached to get cicadas and cook them for folks, but no one could track down the cicadas. Like that cicada onslaught thing, plague.
Happened.
Yeah, it just like passed us over. It was like that blizzard a couple weeks ago.
I kind of feel bad for the cicadas. They were waiting a really long time to be cicadas, and...
Yeah, well,
it didn't really work out.
Well, they could have been dinner. Had they become cicadas, they could have been dinner.
If only. And then you also have a cookbook coming out in October, I believe, called The Laws of Cooking and How to Break Them.
Yeah, I can't believe it. It's really weird. Like, just kind of blowing your brains out on a couple hundred pieces of paper. But that should be really exciting. It's got some really great photography by Daniel Krieger. A lot of people know who he is because he's blowing up all over Instagram.
Yeah, I follow him, actually.
Yeah, he's amazing, right?
Yeah.
And so it was really kind of a match made in heaven. And then the publishers, Flatiron Books, they really just gave me a license to ill. They were like, look, man, we're going to take you out for whiskey and we're going to see what sticks to us. And that was it. It was kind of nice. We're like, well, if you don't like us by the end of two whiskeys and we don't like you, you know, you always know someone after two whiskeys.
Yeah.
You don't really need to know anymore.
No. It's, yeah. Well, actually, four whiskeys probably tells you a lot more about certain people, but...
Fair enough.
Well, enough about how successful you are.
Yeah, please.
And let's talk some cereal. Just to start, I'd love if you could give us a little bit about your own personal cereal history, you know, what you ate as a kid, maybe what you eat now, any interesting cereal experiences.
Yeah, man, my life with cereal has been pretty wild. I was pretty much allowed to have almost any cereal I wanted as a kid, unlike a lot of kids out there saying, oh, my mom didn't let me have that. I did because my dad actually ran away from home when his mother wouldn't let him have Wheaties for dinner. And so that kind of has been in my backbone, you know, it's in my blood. So like I grew up eating like Rocky Road. A lot of people don't know that. It was like three kind of like gastropomorphic, I don't know if that's a word, but like gastropomorphic cartoon characters that represented like chocolate and vanilla and marshmallow, I think.
I have no memory of those at all.
Rocky Road cereal?
No. Yeah, there was ice cream cone cereal.
This predates ice cream cones by, I think, about a year and a half, two years almost. But it was kind of off of the success of Rocky Road. And Rocky Road's marshmallows, or Marbits, rather, if you're into the terminology. So they're not real marshmallows. They were chocolate covered.
Okay. Like kind of like a thin actual glaze. Like
Totally.
Dipped in there.
Yeah, and so they also didn't get that weird kind of... It's appealing to some, unappealing to others, that marshmallow milk soak thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they didn't get that.
Right, no. They're, you know, they can take a beating.
Yeah, there's a buffer.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a rocky road out there.
Mm-hmm.
That was really bad.
No, it was beautiful. Your dad ran away from home because he couldn't eat Wheaties? How far did he make it? What's the story here?
Oh, yeah, so this is pretty wild. My dad was born in 1927, so... he had me when he was, I guess, 53 or 57, something like that. I forget.
Okay.
But anyway, like, Wheaties was, like, brand new to him, and it was a very big deal. And he got the Wheaties box, and his mom wouldn't let him eat them for dinner. And so he survived for an entire day, and they finally found him on the steps of the nation's capital clutching this Wheaties box like some sort of...
Where did he start from?
I guess, like, in Greenbelt, Maryland, which is, I mean, it's not that far away, but it's definitely a hoof.
That still sounds really far. I mean, I walked recently from the Lincoln Memorial to the Washington. Is that even one? Yeah, the Washington Monument.
Yeah, yeah, there
and
you
it
go.
It felt like that took about 6 hours.
What did you have for breakfast that day is my question.
I don't know.
Probably not Wheaties.
Oh, my God. It certainly wasn't Wheaties. Did they put your father on a box of Wheaties after this amazing, beautiful journey?
They didn't, sadly, but I was guaranteed, based on my father's, like, the scarring from this experience, I knew that I would have, he knew that he would have cereal in his life forever.
Yeah.
And therefore I would as well.
I can't believe they didn't put him on the box. But they put Lou Gehrig on the box, or, like, what did he do? He didn't walk that far.
Well.
Because of Wheaties?
Yeah, I don't know. He might have been like the original Iron Man or something, wasn't he? I really don't know much about sports.
Lou Gehrig was pretty cool, actually.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So I think you coming on this podcast was fated, even though either of us knew it, which I guess is probably how fate works. But we first met about a year ago at a General Mills event for National Cereal Lovers Week, which this podcast is expecting dump trucks of sponsor dollars from any moment now. And... At this event, you and a very patient support staff helped a bunch of clumsy, foolish, highly untrained journalists create dishes out of cereals like Chex and Cheerios. I think Cinnamon Toast Crunch was in the mix.
Yeah,
and they were amazing. Like it wasn't a stunt. These were good dishes. It was great food.
Hey, thanks, man.
Yeah, like what was that like, and how did that all come about, and what was your experience from the other side?
Well, I like cereal. I've always liked cereal, but mostly as a cook, I really enjoy looking at a pantry and saying, this is what we can do. So you might not have polenta, but you do have puffed corn. You know, that is Kix. Mm-hmm. You might not have plenty of things, but cereal is in the pantry. Like, that's where you keep it. But we only look at it as cereal. We only look at it as, like, it only goes with milk in a bowl with spoon. But realistically, it's a prepared, flavored product that is designed to be delicious. And the vast majority of cereals, unlike a lot of things out there, are flavor-packed. I'm not kidding you. Like, if it is called Frankenberry, it tastes monstrously berry-y, you know?
Mm-hmm. I do know.
They always live up to their claim of whatever the flavor is. It's not called, you know, cacao dust. It's called Cocoa Puffs. Does that make sense?
What about those Kix that you mentioned?
Oh, I love Kix. So, like, Kix, for example...
I mean, they don't taste like... Of all... I think Kix is actually one of the more demure cereals.
Oh, it's neutral.
It's not kicking you.
Right.
It's not kicking you twice, to make it plural.
But I'll tell you, the thing about Kix is that you can pound it. And to me, because it is a corn cereal, there's something about the texture of it, and even the way it sits in a bowl, that reminds me of popcorn. Mm-hmm. And popcorn is a very neutral flavor until you start putting things on it. But just imagine, you know, milky, sweetened popcorn. That's pretty much kicks. And the feeling that you get of like shoveling it in your mouth and no real like repercussion. That's why we eat popcorn.
Like you're barely even filling up.
Yeah, you're barely even filling up. You're just like mowing through. If you took a bowl of kicks and like pulverized it, it would probably make like, I don't know, a quarter cup or something. I don't know. That's why I love it.
That's, yeah.
I'm sorry. Am I too loud? I feel like I'm kicking red.
No. And we haven't even started eating sugary cereals yet.
Yeah.
But no, scream as much as you must.
I get so into kicks, man.
The thing that I made that night was a ravioli with some sort of smoked cheese and only the marshmallows from Lucky Charms.
Yeah, that was, man,
and
I don't know.
It was, I thought it was beautiful. Maybe that was the one that, you know, you were like,
no,
man,
I was
these,
very
these idiots.
No, I was very proud of it. It's very tasty.
Understandable.
To be honest, I have no idea. I knew that was going to happen. I knew that would work, but I just don't. You know, it's like in the brain. Like I put in a coin, you know, and then it like plinkos down, and then we get some results. I just, you know, I put it all the way to the left. I didn't see that marshmallow ravioli coming out, and it did. And it was good. But I knew it would be good because smoke and marshmallow is like best friends. If you look at the s'more, smoke and marshmallow is totally it. We always like our marshmallows roasty. And then when you add that, you know, very simple like pasta dough exterior to it, it becomes a vessel. But also another thing that we enjoy with marshmallows, which is like a canvas type piece. Does that make sense?
I think so, yeah. I think you're saying that it landed in like the 1500 slot maybe on the Plinko, like not the zero, not the 10 grand.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good takeaway.
I was very
Plinko.
Happy.
Everybody always thinks they're going to get 40 grand and like it doesn't happen.
Yeah. 1500. Yeah, yeah. I'll take it.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I was very proud of it.
It was good. We should have them all the time. And I'm sure you would love your life a lot more if you were doing that every single night.
Honestly, yeah. There's something also about the way that you can kind of see if the pasta dough is thin enough, you can see the translucent like
you can see the
colors.
Absolutely.
Of the marshmallows. Yeah. They were Lucky Charms Marbits.
Taste the rainbow, which is the wrong product, but the right slogan.
Indeed.
All right, let's get into the featured cereal of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
One of your all-time favorites, maybe your favorite, might you say?
It's definitely up there. It's definitely up there.
Okay, and that cereal is?
Golden Grahams.
Golden Grahams. All right, Golden Grahams. I've got the box right here, like always on cereal. Almost passed it, I think, at the store the other day. I think they did some rebranding.
Yeah,
there is a absolutely huge single Golden Graham.
That's not just enlarged to show texture. That is like, it practically looks like a roof that's absorbing a deluge of milk. It's actually reflecting it, what with its
it
corrugation.
It is. It's a shingled gram, to be sure.
Yeah.
I mean, other than that, I'm assuming this is the old classic. They can't go changing these recipes. That would be crazy. So, as always on cereal, we're going to pour ourselves a couple bowls.
I'm very excited about this.
And have a taste. Just going to pass this over.
Oh, thanks. Should we do a dry tasting
first?
Yeah,
we have to do a dry tasting, absolutely. So, yeah, Golden Grahams, honestly, were never a big part of my childhood. I think I got into them in college a little bit. And I love them. They were probably, you know, if I'm making a list, they're maybe seventh or eighth. But that's still a pretty very amazing cereal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they're... It tastes like a tiny, tiny little graham cracker without those aerodynamic perforations that
right.
graham crackers have. Just kind of hit with honey and sugar, as all cereals, you know, who fall on the bad side of cereal, must.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Not that I'm here to debate that, but I can see it right here. 11 grams of whole grain. That's pretty exciting.
They're touting it too.
Yeah, I mean, I believe in cereal. I believe cereal is a great thing that we can do for ourselves. I think it's gotten a kind of a bad rap in the past, but I believe in cereal.
I believe I'm going to put some milk on the cereal and see what it tastes like.
Okay, good. Well, in terms of dry, you got to admit the crunch is fantastic, right?
Crunch is fantastic. I mean, this is the kind of cereal that you already know that if you put some milk on it and the doorbell rings.
Oh, you can come back to this in a bit.
You could come, yeah, like, you're going to be fine.
Yeah. Do you think that the corrugation, you notice that it's only corrugated on one side.
That is pretty interesting.
Yeah, why do you suppose? You know that that's not there by accident or because of the extruding process or something. There has to be a reason.
Okay. I mean, both, well, okay. How about this? I think that the corrugated side is the one that is containing the sugar and the honey, and it seems like a bit of a has an ability to catch
sure.
these extra ingredients.
Yeah.
And possibly they realize that, you know, you do that on both sides and all of a sudden, you know, your balance is off, you're overpowering in some way.
Yeah, I feel like if it wasn't corrugated, I don't feel like these would pick up at any milk at all. I feel like you just get the milk in the spoon, but I don't feel like you would get any adherence whatsoever.
Okay, so in lieu of absorption, which we're pretty sure that the density of these is not going to allow for,
yeah,
adherence is
that's the only the way that we
what
can
you
moisten
need to complete your milky cereal experience. All right, I'm going to put some of this this milk on. I don't know what kind of milk this is. I'm assuming it's whole milk. It might be half and half. I think we got this from the barista station at Roberta's here. Either way is fine.
Well, it's refreshingly at food safe temperature, which is nice. We don't normally do that in food TV.
I think they've got an A here, right?
Yeah, yeah. Very impressed.
Somebody just gave me a thumbs up.
Oh, nice.
Okay, so there's a lot of cereals that not only am I happy to eat without milk, I actually prefer to eat them without milk.
Right.
I love the cereal with milk. The cereal needs milk.
Yeah. No, I hear
which
you.
Which is good because it's a cereal and
it gets milk.
Usually they have milk.
I think we were right. I think we're looking at it now with the milk on it. I think we're right about the, if you look at the way the milk, it truly clings to that side, that corrugated side. But yeah, this it definitely does. It gets tempered with milk. It
Wait, absolutely. Yeah, no, you're completely right. The other side is it's dry somehow.
Mm.
It's just like it's got like some sort of shellac on it.
Yeah,
it just runs right off,
like water on a duck's back. I always relish the opportunity to say that for some reason. It makes me feel old. Mm.
I'm going to retract my previous statement, though, and not in a bad way. These are kind of falling apart already in the milk. Falling apart is obviously too far, but they're softening. There's a softening occurring here.
Yeah, they are softening for sure. What do you think the deal is? I've had Golden Grahams, I promise you, that stay crunchy longer, but I think the texture is actually a little bit more addictive now that it's softened a little.
I think I overestimated. You know, it's kind of it's fight against the milk.
Mm-hmm.
This is better. This to me is a better cereal about, you know, 2 minutes of milk in.
Do you think it was designed that way intentionally? It knew its half-life?
I'd have to imagine. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that most cereal is intelligently designed. I think that Life cereal is like something went wrong.
Oh, really?
And enough people bought it that they never tried. I mean, well, yeah, life cereal, you. You've got about, you have 10 or 15 seconds. I actually have a bit of a strategy with Life cereal where I put in very, very little milk, which is not typical of me, and just keep filling the bowl.
Right.
Little milk, little cereal, fill the bowl, keep going. I love eating that particular cereal dry, but yeah, I mean, in many ways, somebody screwed it in the lab.
Hmm. That was good though, right? I mean, the Golden Grahams, we're now finished. We just put down our bowls like, yes, that was good.
No, this is very satisfying. You are really, really one of the premier cereal pickers that I've had on this entire episode. So
thanks. Well, it says when you crave a crunch, now you're golden. Grab some sweet golden goodness. Now you're golden. That's something that's been around with them for a little bit.
Yeah, so funnily enough, you say that. I actually have a list here of some of the taglines, Golden Grahams taglines from the past. You're not just good, you're golden.
Wow.
Is, you know, I think that They're playing off of.
Yeah, next time I'm like hitting on my girlfriend over breakfast,
yeah,
I'm going to be like, you're not as good. Pour the cereal. You're golden.
Crammed with Graham is something that we probably, you know, don't want to mention that you were just talking about girlfriends and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Who's Graham?
I don't know, how do they cram all that Graham? It's like, okay, Graham, like, definitely stay away from him.
Yeah. But, you know, speaking of that, we just talked earlier, you know, this thing promised to be Grammy. Like, tastes like graham crackers, and it is almost more than graham crackers, potently graham flavored. Isn't that cool?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it like it outgrams a graham cracker, is what you're saying.
Yes.
I mean, I guess if you're trying to shrink, as many cereals do, we were talking about ice cream cones earlier, shrink down, you know, normal human sized product into a half inch square. Like, that should be what's accomplished. Like, you should get more and not the same. It's kind of the,
yeah,
you know, like the law of conservation of flavor or something like that.
I like that.
what are some of it's going to be a Golden Grahams day. That's boring. Yum, yum. They're Grahams. Golden Grahams. I'm thinking some of these must have been, like, from, the, you know, the 30s.
Wow, Golden Grahams were around that long?
Well, I don't know. The 50s, 60s?
Yeah,
I'm not sure it says on the box.
I'm looking.
Some of them are like, they're clearly not like current day marketing. It's
this is pretty funny. It has a list of things that are golden and are Grahams.
Okay, what do we got?
Well, one thing that is golden is a city in Colorado, Illinois, Mississippi, Missouri, Oregon, Texas, and British Columbia.
Okay.
It's the fourth most popular dog in the U.S., obviously a golden of the retriever variety.
I wonder what's higher.
Things that are Grahams. Well, the inventor of the telephone.
Obviously.
0.035 ounces.
Okay. That's they took a little bit of a liberty with the H there.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Well, they actually say, but close enough, in parentheses underneath. Yeah, it's also a delicious type of cracker that is very similar to a delicious type of cereal. Wink, wink. It actually says that.
Yeah, see, they're being very, very circular and aware with this.
Mm-hmm. Not bad for a square cereal.
I'll take it. I'm finished with my bowl of Golden Grahams. You're finished with your bowl of Golden Grahams. We're going to take a break for a second and be right back with some more cereal.
And the break song today is called Chillin'.Bat by Rectech. This is cereal on heritageradionetwork.org. Today's program was brought to you by the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Hey, Jack Insley here, executive producer of Heritage Radio Network. I hope today's show has got you craving some cereal, and as we all know, and as we've probably mentioned on today's show, good cereal is nothing without milk. Real milk. Cow's milk is not only giving you high-quality, complete protein, but calcium, other nutrients, all the stuff you need to build a healthy body. Turns out most American adults are not consuming enough vitamin D every day, so adding just one serving of milk helps address that nutrient gap. Other ways to get your daily intake of milk? Yogurt has milk. Ice cream has milk. Butter has milk. Cheese has milk. It's not rocket science. Drink your milk. Real milk. Cow's milk. Or maybe chocolate milk. This is a show about cereal. Cereal goes great with milk. Milk is good for you. I think you get the point. And for more fun facts and information, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
And now it's time for your weekly cereal news brief. Here's your cereal news brief, your weekly update on the shocking amount of cereal news that happens every 7 days in this crazy world of ours. After a 9-year banishment from grocery shelves, Cinnamon Toast Crunch's existentialist chain-smoking brother, French Toast Crunch, is back. All manner of publications were ecstatic about the return of the two-shattering syrup-addled squares that milk seems to have zero effect on, but my personal favorite story was from a little site called Vedette Online, the Illinois State student newspaper. The story did like the typical job that a lot of other publications did of lauding the cereal and expressing great joy surrounding its comeback, but it also offered this nugget of advice, which I didn't find in any of the other stories that I read. Quote, if you would like to try French Toast Crunch and your local grocery store does not currently sell it, you can ask the manager to request the cereal, unquote.
That's amazing.
It definitely seems true.
Yeah.
And you can do that. There's a guy there, and he's probably up in that weird little booth.
Yeah.
Hey, Ralphie, the man wants his cereal.
How about that French Toast Crunch?
Yeah. At my place, they're always yelling for Ralphie. We call him the voz de Dios, the voice of God, because he's always talking from upstairs, like, okay, I get it. That's a terrible accent. Well, this is how I hear life.
Have you ever had this stuff before, French Toast Crunch?
I haven't. I know that it exists. I might have had it as a child, but I don't have it in my like flavor bank in my mouth. I know that I could get a hold of this if I wanted to.
If they don't have it, then
I'll just ask the manager. Ralphie will take care of it. I'll be frank. I'm a huge believer in Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I freaking love that stuff. The cinnamon story behind Cinnamon Toast Crunch, they tested like something like 76 varieties of cinnamon from different parts of the world in order to settle on the one that is Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Huh.
And that to me, they wouldn't just like go willy-nilly being like, oh, it's kind of French toast. No, darn well that they were like finding the most eggy like brioche or like challah bread. Killer toast crunch, you know?
Actually, now that we're talking about this, I kind of really want to get a box in here. What's the syrup? Is it Aunt Jemima? Are we talking, pure maple?
Yeah, I don't know. That's tough. When I first got into the real world, I actually didn't understand actual maple syrup because I was so used to, like, Aunt Jemima, Mrs. Butterworth, hell, even Karo,
Log Cabin? No, yeah, that was pretty much my
When I had
too.
Real maple syrup, I thought it was, like, gross. It tasted like
you're wrong.
Insects. But... Yeah, well, now I'm better. Like, yeah. I've obviously figured it out. What else you got in there?
Okay. This is a good one. I like this one. Also recently returned, this is the returning heroes portion of the Cereal News Brief, is one of the finest cereal-focused artistic Vine compilations of the last 3 years, and maybe the last 5 years. Ryan Gosling won't eat his cereal. As described by the semi-indispensable site Know Your Meme, quote, Ryan Gosling won't eat his cereal is a series of Vine videos pairing on-screen projections of Ryan Gosling's emotional acting scenes with a slowly approaching spoonful of cereal held by the videographer. a lot of credit there, unquote. So after a run of 26 videos starting in 2013, Scottish Wonder Genius Ryan McHenry is back with two new Tour de Force Vines posted, I think, in the last week, in which Gosling still refuses the shit out of that cereal.
Wow.
It seems like one of the clips, which you actually watched before the show.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if tour de force is exactly the word, but I can see how for some, like my lady friend, it might be a tour de force.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, I think, are moved by anything.
To be that hen, to be that spoon, to be that Gosling. which is a baby goose.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I don't know why no one's ever done that before.
Right. Why aren't people talking about this?
Yeah, whatever.
All right. This is where it starts. One of the clips was from Drive, which is a fantastic movie in which nobody dies. And the other one, I don't know. He's dressed up like a 70s newsman. I don't know if you recognize that. He's got an earpiece and he freaks out about something and boom, the spoon goes away. They're all pretty smart. We didn't watch all of them beforehand, so you might not have seen some of the other ones. But, he's turning his head simultaneously when the spoon gets very close. At one point, he pulls this giant shawled sweater over his face in some form of disgust.
Well, there's something to be said for that. I mean, it made it on a Know Your Meme, which is pretty good.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, yeah, you are on Know Your Meme, therefore you exist.
And I can't tell what cereal he's denying in the vines. It's basically like nothing that I've ever seen before. It's looks like smashed up goldfish to me.
Interesting.
The guy who makes these is Scottish, so... I think that they have some...
Maybe it's Shreddies.
It might actually be Shreddies, yeah.
Mm.
I mean, which is another thing that we discussed before we came on air. But UK can you let everybody know about that?
Sounds like the UK cereal, Shreddies, it sounds kind of like the music that played shortly before the news.
All right.
Yeah.
And that is this week's Cereal News Brief.
That music's amazing, man. I feel like just I see images of Terminator 1.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's actually my buddy Phil, who is the frontman for the Tri-State area's second most popular Bee Gees cover band.
Oh, wow.
Called Tragedy. Everybody should go see them. They're around New York. They do like a 3-week, 4-week European tour every year, which is even more convenient for our New York listeners. So on the show, Golden Grahams, as I said, like not one of my kind of core cereals, but Golden Grahams treats, the Golden Grahams answer to Rice Krispie treats.
Yeah, those things are amazing.
Was an absolute revelation to me. And so my plan was that we were going to sit here, we're going to eat those, we're going to eat these other treat bars. They have Reese's Puffs treats, they have Lucky Charms, obviously. The Fruity Pebbles are, you know, obviously very similar to your Rice Krispies, but I looked in, I think, 4 or 5 grocery stores and every bodega in about a 15-block radius in New York City. These things are nowhere, so unfortunately we're not going to get to eat these things. I'm glad that we're thinking about them. Mm-hmm. Luckily, for me, it seems like we've got an alternative.
Yeah, I brought some things. Speaking of tragedies, these are cereals that you may not have had. They're from my private collection.
Okay.
So I'm going to give them to you, and you can see if you can figure out what they are.
We going dry here or milk?
You're going dry, right. Definitely.
He's going for the nose.
All right, when you say personal collection.
Yeah.
This one looks like Cookie Crisp, but...
Right.
It's like a Cookie Crisp-sized disc.
Sure.
Doesn't really smell like anything. Peanut buttery?
No. It is Cookie Crisp. It's the...
it's Cookie Crisp.
Yeah, it's the holiday version.
It's the holiday version.
Yeah.
Okay.
Deceiving, though, isn't it?
What's more festive about this? Looks pretty boring.
Sprinkles, man. The sprinkles are red and green.
Okay.
And...
There's a problem. I'm colorblind.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that.
I'm red-green colorblind.
Gosh. Oh, man. So it looks, literally, to you, it looks exactly like Cookie Crisp.
Yeah, it just looks like, it looks like nothing.
Okay. Well, moving on. Anyway, it's a little bit more like holiday flavor. It's less on the chocolate, more on the sprinkles.
Okay.
My friend out in the lobby over there told me that it tastes reminiscent of Sprinkle Spangles, another forgotten cereal.
Okay.
Worth knowing that the ad for it is... stupendous. Yeah, I think it features a genie that kind of like the Aladdin genie, but it is not the Aladdin genie.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I think all genies kind of look like the Aladdin genie. Maybe they're not all as jacked.
I don't know. I feel like there might be more artistic interpretations of genies.
They all have the hat, and then they kind of trail. They're
they're always coming out of a lamp
into,
somewhere.
Into a single wisp of smoke.
Right.
Okay, cereal number 2.
Yeah.
Justin Warner's personal collection.
Any guess on the visual?
I mean, it looks like, I'm sorry, it looks like Cinnamon Toast Crunch, though it's, I'm already eating it, so I'm cheating. It's, I don't know if Cinnamon Toast Crunch has the check marks like this.
It's tough,
or maybe I've never noticed. It looks like check marks as opposed to striations.
Yeah, it's definitely a different structure than the Golden Graham altogether, although a similar shape and area. You know this, it's on the tip of your tongue.
Oh, man.
That flavor, this is real deal business. This is sugar cookie toast
crunch. Sugar cookie toast crunch. Mm.
Can you believe it?
You basically just took 2 classic cereals, took everything off, and then just dumped regular sugar on them.
Yeah, yeah. With these. But there's something...
Which is beautiful.
Once you know that they're holiday cereals, you're like, oh, wow, that's nice. I like that.
This is good.
But I feel like the sugar cookie toast crunch is... It tastes like my grandma's hands.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, like...
I know exactly what your grandma's hands taste like.
Oh.
Well, look, thank you for this. These were probably better than the bars that we were trying to bring in, and certainly a little more versatile. And that brings us to something else that we like to do every week here on Cereal. It's the Cereal Proust questionnaire. I think that you've probably seen inside the Actors Studio, James Lipton asked everybody the same set of questions. I'm going to ask actually good questions, and you can give me a quick answer, a long answer, whatever you like.
All right.
So we already know your favorite cereal. What is your least favorite cereal? Cereal that you hate.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Gosh, that's tough. Man, I'm going to take up so much of that airtime because I am actually notoriously known for not disliking almost anything in the food world.
We can say we're going to come back to it and then never come back to it, which is what always happens.
Yeah, let's come back to that one.
Okay, let's come back to that. Milk. What kind of milk do you use on your cereal?
I used to be 100% skim. Now I'm 100% whole.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just a time and place sort of thing.
If you could get bottle service in a fancy nightclub with any one cereal mascot, who would it be and why?
Wow, that's intense. I don't know. Maybe Booberry?
Okay.
That Boo guy?
Yeah, that Boo guy.
I mean, he looks classy. Party. He looks kind of smoky. He looks like... He just looks like he wouldn't, like, try and, like... He wouldn't be, like, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs in the club. You know, he'd be, like, chill and relaxed. And it's like maybe like surprise people here and there. Like,
he's not running around grabbing ass.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Unlike Frankenberry over here. Look at those hands.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to get you. Look at my manicure.
What about an Eagles concert? Which mascot do you want to take to an Eagles concert?
Wow. What do the Eagles play, man? I'm sorry. Hotel California? That's the Eagles, basically.
The unfortunate song they play.
Maybe
Joe Walsh is cool.
I would take Wendell. Wendell from Cinnamon Toast Crunch. He's the chef. Mm-hmm. He's not really in existence anymore. He retired.
Like the Eagles should.
Right. That's why I'm taking him there. I'll just leave him there. I'll go somewhere else.
How about a dual birthday party at the roller rink? Which mascot?
Oh man. Gosh, I feel like I might take those gastropomorphic. People from Rocky Road. I just feel like that was the era when roller rinks and Rocky Road and, you know, there was just something about it. Also, I don't know how to roller skate, and I also don't know the Eagles, so I'm starting to get a little embarrassed.
One of those is cool and one of them isn't.
Okay, great.
Cereal for dinner. What do we think about that?
Yeah, anytime. Even better if it's, like, actually integrated into something that is not just cereal for dinner. Cocoa Puffs Carbonara, for example.
There we go.
You've been there.
I think, oh, yeah. Wasn't as good as the ravioli, obviously. Who do you think, and it's a bit of a loaded question here. We've kind of touched on this earlier, but who do you think deserves to be on a Wheaties box but hasn't been?
That's interesting. Gosh, they're pretty good, honestly. They're pretty good about putting people in the Wheaties box. I mean, it has to be an athlete, right?
Theoretically. I mean, it could be any form of champion, I would assume.
Okay, yeah, so maybe I'll go for Mango from Super Smash Brothers.
Okay.
You know, he's like a pro Smash Brothers gamer.
Yeah.
He just he was just very heroic at the Apex 2015. His name's Mango.
Mango.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Let's get him on there.
Yeah, he's an electronic professional gamer.
Yeah.
Like, athlete.
Hey, right? Look, I mean, what if we're marketing to our core audience, like...
Yeah.
Who's sitting around eating cereal more than those guys?
Yeah, Mango definitely, I think. Yeah. I think he would be totally into it.
Last question. When is the last time you had a bowl of cereal other than this, and what was it?
Oh, gosh. That was just the other day, probably like during the blizzard. So by the time this releases, that was like the other week. But it was very recently. We were snowed in, and I didn't have to work, and I was just like, you know what? I could go cook things. I could go lift all these fingers, but I'm just going to sit here and pound Cinnamon Toast Crunch and watch Peaky Blinders.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't figure out if I like that show or not.
It's so terrible. I had to really, like, study to get that out of my mouth because I call it Pinky Blinders at home.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, do I call it Pinky Blinders? I don't know. I just say P E.
You should, like, just like the people on the show, you shouldn't be able to understand what you're saying.
Yeah, but I think that I like it.
Yeah, I love Cillian Murphy. He's good.
Yeah.
Well, look, that's it today. Thank you,
really been a
Justin
pleasure.
Warner, for coming on, eating some cereal, bringing me cereal. Everybody should follow Justin on Twitter at EatFellowHumans, which I'm pretty sure is something I saw graffitied on the Donner Party Memorial statue when I was in Lake Tahoe over Christmas. And
that was me, man.
Yeah, Justin, thanks again.
My pleasure.
All right, that's it this week for cereal. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.